very carefully. What is he talking about? Okay, he's going on in his trip. There are up and downs. And when there are downs, it's really good. Don't give up, because this is how it works. There are the stuff that you get, and there are the price that you should pay, right? Then repetition again, that when you feel that contraction inside, be happy. You see, it's all that opposite the logical stuff. Here, sorrow is good, because we know that it will motivate you, it will make you run. So here you will say, when the negative side of it will show up, you should think about the positive side of it. Look at the, then he goes, the children are laughing, and the knowledgeable people, they look very sad. Why? Again, that innocence in the childhood will make them happy. So they are happy. And we are going to approach that innocence once more. So the sorrow is here and the happiness is there. And
the eye of the child, like the ass, is on the stall. The eye of the wise man.
The children, they just see the immediate stuff they want, and normally the animal stuff. So you say, the children are just like that ass who is looking at the food. That's all he wants, yes?
The eye of the wise man is in reckoning the end.
So you should translate it in English in a way to remember that in this enrichment, the children will look at what's going on. We should look at the end of it. This going back, we see the end of it. It doesn't matter how the process goes, because we know the happy ending of this. Yes?
He sees the rich father in a stall, while this sees the ultimate end to be death by the butcher.
Yeah, but that doesn't make too much sense to you poetically, does it? No, because in Persian he's playing with two words. The word is akhar, akhor. Akhar means the end, the last stuff. Akhor means that piece of feeding the animal, that the small hole that they put the food, the grass for the ass to digest. And he's playing with these two, Akhor and Akhar. The baby looks at the Akhor, because Akhor belongs to the donkey, and the clever guy sees the Akhar. He's playing with these two. So poetically it's interesting, but it doesn't make sense in translation. Yes?
That father is bitter. For the butcher, David, he set up a pair of scales for our flesh. Go, eat the fodder of wisdom which God hath given us, disinterestedly from pure bounty. O slave, you have understood.
Miss what? Miss what translation? Did you get it? He said, you see that I'm against that childish stuff. I promote this one. You know why? Because that childish stuff, I told you, it's some piece of grass for this ass. You know who brought it? The guy who wants to kill it. When they want to kill a sheep, first they feed it and all that to make it a little bit more meat, something like that, right? So, whatever here you get, your animal part gets here, it could be a trap, because somebody did it for another plan. But we know there is something else in us, which nobody put it there. God did, wine. The others, they do something for a benefit. He doesn't do it for benefit. He just did it because he is a giver. So stick to that one. There is a difference between what God gave to you and this universe is giving to you. Whatever this universe is giving to you, you have to pay the price. Everything has a price. But what is the price of your soul? You got it for free. And there is no price for that. That's why that's more important for us. Yes?
O slave, you have understood bread, not wisdom, in that which God has spoken unto you, eat ye of his provision. God's provision in the stage is wisdom that will not choke you at the last. You have closed this mouth. Another mouth is opened, which becomes an eater of the morsels of mysteries. If you cut off your body from the devil's milk, by weaning it, you will enjoy much felicity. I have given half...
You remember that right at the beginning, he talked about fasting, right? Book 1, Agnatic. Beginning of the book 2, he said book 1 was just like the blood. But this is, the second book is like milk. So you have to try a little bit. Book 3, he started with fasting. He said, fasting is important. You want to be enriched. You have to be careful. What do you eat? What do you gather, right? And all the stuff was about that. Here we see that fetam again. That word is in here. Because here the milk is here. The body and the milk and fasting all together in one verse. We say, okay, if you are saved from drinking the milk of this body, you will have a lot in fasting, in not eating, by winning this fasting or something. Yes?
I have given a half-raw explanation of it. The Turkoman's ill-boiled meat, here in full from the sage of Ghazna.
Means what? Mm-hmm. There is a guy who was from Ghazna, so they call him Ghaznavi. Okay? This is just the name of a guy. But he was one of the Hakims. And you know what Hakim means? One of the meaning of Hakim is the fellow with this wisdom. And we have handful of them in Iran that they have this title, Hakim. One of them is Hakim Ghaznavi. What was his first name? You don't remember. Anyhow, here he would say, you know what? All this I explained, this is 3 pages. All of this I just gave you a little bit of hint. If you want to know it, you have to go and read. That guy explained it all. Means I somehow compressed that big book of him in a couple of verses. If you want more, go over there, because the guy, Hakim Elohi Ghaznavi, has a very famous book, which is Elohi Nameh, means the paper of God, somehow. Yes?
In the Elohi Nameh, that sage of the unseen and glory of them that know explains this. Eat sorrow, and do not eat the bread of those who increase sorrow. For the wise man eats sorrow, and the child sugar. The sugar of joy is the fruit of the garden of sorrow. This joy is the wound, that sorrow is the plaster. When you see sorrow, embrace it with passionate love. Look on Damascus from the top of Rubwa. The wise man...
It's Rubwa, I believe.
What?
Rubwa. Which is Rubwa, or whatever. This is the name of a place in Syria. and the other one is Damascus, Damascus. So we would say, from this city, look at that one, historically, yes?
The wise man is seeing the wine in the grape. The lover is seeing the thing in the non-existent. The day before yesterday, the porters were quarreling. Don't you lift. Let me lift this load, like a lion. Since they were seeing profit in that toil, each one was snatching the load from the other. What comparison is there between God's reward and the reward given by that worthless creature? The former gives you a treasure as your reward, and the latter a groat. A golden treasure that remains with you when you lie under the sand and is not left as a heritage. It runs before your hearse and becomes your companion in the tomb and in the state where all is strange.
For the sake. You listen to all of this, and you find it a little bit boring, don't you? He is trying to explain it again and again. Now he handed to that Mr. Sanawi Ghaznavi, who was one of his teachers actually, to explain what? To explain it that in this process that we are talking, do not forget, everything looks upside down. Because here you're talking about the wisdom, not the knowledge. And do you remember? Everything turns around because over there you are working with analysis, dividing this stuff in silence. Here we put them all back together, and here we don't believe in opposition. We don't believe in two things really fighting each other. We believe two opposite things are working together. They are together. Because we know if you eliminate something, the opposite doesn't exist anymore. Yes, ideally, logically, you think that, oh, I wish there was no sorrow. If there is no sorrow, there is no happiness. Brilliant. What is sorrow? What is happiness? These are the opposite of each other. Because, do you remember? The tricky stuff in this school of thought is, normally, your brain, like all the brains of the living creatures on the earth, is looking outside and judging, wanting something and avoiding something else. Something is good, something is bad, right? But this is silly, because we know all system is working together, and the opposite are two sides of one coin. I mean, if somebody had never ever had a moment of sorrow, what does that prove to you? This fellow has no feeling. So he never even experienced happiness. These are both together. Up and down are together, are two sides of the coin. And this is something that normally you forget. Why? The first moment of negative stuff, let's call them. Suddenly you give up. You stop all the thinkings and you will be busy with that pain of that moment. He wants to explain it to you that, listen, this lady has a fear of Holy Spirit. She should. That's a part of it. Means this lady is not ready to make love with whoever. This lady is protecting herself, so she has principles. So the fellow that he doesn't know will make fear. You should understand all of this, not to think that, oh, having fear from Holy Spirit. She didn't know what the Holy Spirit is. This is the story of you. You don't know what's going to happen to you, but you should.